It is the 1st of October in 2018, and today's our 44th opportunity to interview somebody that's got some background with the West Dubuque District, and we're talking today with Jerry Rowling. And I guess as things go, Jerry, I usually try to get your comments on your earliest days and where you grew up and where you went to school and that sort of thing.
Okay, well, I grew up in Holy Cross, which is in the West Dubuque School District, so I'm very familiar with it throughout the years. And yeah, I went to grade school and high school there, and then I went on to Loras College in Dubuque and got my BA from Loras in physical education, and became a teacher after that, and went back to Holy Cross for 5 years and taught there. And
What years are those, Jerry?
I graduated from Loras in 71, so like from 71 to the fall of 76 is when I taught up at Holy Cross and coached up there. So
maybe we could back up a little bit with your college memories as far as being at Loras. Did you play baseball there?
Yeah, I played at Loras College. I went there basically to, I played baseball 4 years. I lettered 4 years in baseball, and my freshman year I was on the basketball team as well. And then, so I just played freshman basketball, and then after that I dropped off of that. And then my senior year, I played club football, which was the start of the club football, or tackle football, back at Loras College. So I had never played high school football before, so that was a completely new experience for me.
Why did you do that?
Well, because I played intramural football, and I had great success there, and the people that were going to coach kind of talked me into it.
Okay.
You know, so I thought I'd give it a shot, and I ended up... I was backup quarterback, I guess, and then I played defensive back. And I mean, one person certainly that everybody would remember would be Mike Riley, you know, from Dubuque originally, playing professional college football at Iowa and becoming an All-American, going on to play with the Bears and the Vikings. And he was my defensive back coach, so that was a neat experience too. So yeah, so that was my first experience with tackle football, and I made a lot of great friends and had a lot of respect for the coaches that coached me there as well.
You know, I can give you a little background on that situation, because when I was at Loras from 57 to 61, I remember as a freshman there was regular varsity football, and so the next year, sophomore year, football. Came back my junior year, no football. And I never heard of an explanation. At any rate, that bothered me for all these years. What happened? And so I reached out to, well, Denise Udelhoven is the...
Right, the athletic director now.
And she asked her about that. And she contacted somebody who was still around from back then. Well, what happened basically was the president of Loras at the time was Monsignor Foley. He was a very unpopular individual, as I recall. Basically, he had a meeting after my sophomore year, which would have been 1960 probably, and he had a meeting and he said, no more football. We're dropping football.
Just like that. He himself made that decision pretty much on his own.
Yeah. Didn't give any explanation.
Okay.
He probably looked at the bottom line as far as what's costing.
Right,
and
exactly.
And so, bye-bye football until...
Yeah, that would have been the fall of 70 is when they reinstated it. And I can still remember John Cody was big into bringing it back, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
And then there was a few others that with them. Jim Lentz might have been one, and a few other people. But, yeah, I mean, it was a new experience for me, and it was a valuable experience. And actually, I ended up coaching football probably as a result of that at Cascade for most of my years there. So it proved beneficial as far as my future was concerned in playing it for that 1 year, even though I didn't know anything. All these other players came over from high schools in Chicago, and they were so involved and so on. And I'm just kind of a little kid from Holy Cross, Iowa, coming in.
You hardly ever tackled anybody.
I know. Even when I played, I hardly tackled anybody. Yeah. So, but yeah, it was a great experience. And like I said, you know, it proved valuable for my for high school coaching at the football level.
Okay. Yeah, memories of some of your teachers at Loras.
Oh yeah. Yeah, my biggest influence as far as my coaching career was probably Jim Smar Jesse. He coached me in varsity baseball my freshman and sophomore years, and then John Cole came in after that and coached me my last 2 years. But a lot of my philosophies I came from Jim Smar Jesse. You know, he had a great knowledge of the game. As I remember, he probably, you know, relationship to the players probably wasn't the best, but his knowledge and his games and strategies and things like that, you know, were very, very solid, you know. So he was a huge influence on me. John Coe was also an influence on me my last 2 years. We missed nationals my senior year by one game, you know, so that was a great experience with all local kids, practically Beckman kids, Cascade kids, Holy Cross, you know, Waller. So I'd say 75-80% of the players on the team that successful year were from the area. Okay. So that was kind of a neat experience for me as well. And then in football, then, like I mentioned, Mike Riley, you know, certainly just having a name like that. And let me see, I'm trying to think of the guy's name now. Don somebody was our head coach at that time, but just somebody from Dubuque that, you know, was just volunteered, you know, at that time to coach. And Al Schramm from Loras College, you know, anybody that went to Loras College, Al Schramm was a huge influence on me as well. That was my major physical education, which Al taught at Loras, and his intramural program was outstanding. Even to this day, when our class gets together, his name will always come up, you know, and the memories that all of us have, you know, from those days were outstanding. So those are the people, probably the biggest names I remember from Loras College.
So you, you graduated from Loras, and you had aspirations of being a teacher and a coach, I assume? And
yeah, very definitely. At that time, you know, in order to coach, you had to be a teacher, you know, so yeah. When I was in high school already, I just knew what I wanted to do in the future, and I never wavered with it. I wanted to be a coach, and, you know, I had some, you know, Vince Lombardi and Johnny Wooden and, you know, people like that were huge influences, you know, just from reading about them and, you know, reading about their philosophies and everything else, you know. So, yeah, from high school days on, I was pretty set on what I wanted to do. And teaching-wise, I went to Loras, you know, wanting to major in math, you know. So that was one of my favorite classes in high school. And, you know, I ran into a professor at Loras that didn't get along with real well, you know, so in the math area. So my major changed from math to physical education.
Okay.
So, and then I taught physical education my entire career.
So how did you hook up at Leo then?
Well, Father Hemesai was up there at the time, and I was a Loras Leo grad, you know, that's where I played my high school athletic career. And Father John Hemesai was the pastor up there, and he was a huge influence on our family. You know, my dad got killed when I was 10 months old, so all of us grew up without a dad. And, you know, he as a priest and the pastor, you know, kind of took our family in a lot of ways and would be very helpful, you know, to us. And, I guess my senior year at Loras, when I was out looking for a job, the job opened up at Leo. And
is that when Dan left?
Dan Elgin, you know, had preceded me there as a coach. And so I took his spot, and believe it or not, I taught Spanish for 1 year up there. I had 2 years of Spanish at Loras, and I got a temporary certificate for 1 year to teach that, which allowed me to get in up there and start coaching and teaching physical education as well. So then after that year, I was able to give up Spanish, and then I moved on. So that's, I basically, I give Father Hemesai, thank him a lot for giving me an opportunity to get started, and to be able to coach varsity baseball and basketball my first year out of Loras was a tremendous opportunity back at that time.
Were there other lay teachers at Leo at that point besides yourself?
Yeah, there were several, you know, like Dan Elgin, you know, from the West Dubuque District, Loras Prier, I don't know if you remember Loras, but Loras was up there at that time, but mostly nuns at that time. But yeah, there was like, I have to say there were probably three or four of us lay teachers at the time.
Okay, so that was, you were 5 years there? And you had an opportunity at some point to move on?
Yeah.
And one of the connectors started shorting out again.
Okay. And, yeah, so you're going to leave. You wanted to leave Leo? You wanted to move on? Or?
Well, I wasn't looking to leave Leo at the time, but that's when Cascade Aquin closed.
Right.
You know, and Jim O'Mara, who had been an administrator in the West Dubuque District, contacted me that year and wanted to know if I would be interested, you know, in taking over the baseball program and be a teacher at Cascade. You know, so one thing led to another, and I thought, you know, I had aspirations at that time, you know, continue to move up the ranks in coaching. So I thought, well, this will be my first step, you know, and, you know, with the Catholic school situation at that time, you know, eventually, you know, that most of those schools were going to be closing. So I thought, well, Leo would be closing in a few years, you know, so I thought I'd take this opportunity to get in the public system, in the West Dubuque system. And actually, I think, I don't know if it was that year or the year before or whatever, I had interviewed for the head basketball position at West Dubuque as well. I'm not sure who got out at that time, if it was Wickham or...
I don't remember. No, it was later than that. Was it Hermsen?
Yeah, it could have been Don Hermsen, possibly.
Yeah.
So I actually went over there and interviewed for that position. I didn't get it at that time, but yeah, this opportunity came up. And even though, you know, it's tough to leave the school that you had gone to and coached and enjoyed being around, but it was an opportunity. I thought I needed to take that chance, you know.
So. Okay, so then you took the leap to Cascade. And I'm sure, well, it turned out to be a great experience, obviously, career-wise.
It was a great experience. You know, Cascade Aquin, one of our competitors, and I coached against him in the conference, you know, and played against him in high school, so I knew quite a few people from the area and everything, and, I mean, it turned out to be a fantastic experience, you know.
What were your teaching responsibilities?
Okay, at Cascade, my entire career, I taught physical education.
Okay.
And that's all I taught there. You know, and my first year at Cascade, at that time, Aquin didn't have football, obviously, so they were going to start football in their program. And I remember I was on staff the first year as an assistant freshman coach because we started with the freshman program only. And then it developed into a JV program the following year. And then the third year, as I remember, they became a varsity program.
Okay.
So, yeah, so my college football experience led into my football coaching experience there, and, you know, I thoroughly enjoyed that sport as well as the other two that I coached as well.
What kind of a situation did you jump in as far as baseball is concerned at that point?
Well, the fall of the first year I was there, since I was going to be coaching football, which is in the fall, and Aquin had fall baseball, and Cascade was going to continue fall baseball for a year or two, I think for 1 year. So Al Marshall assumed the baseball coaching position that first year. You know, and then after that, I think the next year we went to a summer program.
Okay.
And as everybody plays now. So that was my situation with baseball there. And then I was varsity coach for 29 years there.
You know, and I was always so sort of intrigued by the fact that, do you remember any circumstances about Iowa's the only state that plays summer baseball? What caused that shift, I wonder?
I don't know. I've been involved in the coaching association for a long time in Iowa, and I think basically the biggest thing was because of all the small school districts in the state of Iowa, that the schools could not provide both a baseball team and a track and field team and tennis or whatever. So they thought they'd push it back into the summer. I think that was the main reason that they changed.
It makes all kinds of sense. I mean,
yeah, it does, you know, both for that reason and weather-wise, as we all know in the state of Iowa.
You and I played in the spring when the snow would be down, you'd be trying to play baseball.
I know it. I remember practicing in the gym for about 3 to 4 weeks, and I remember playing some tournament games or whatever, and you'd come back in the gym, you'd have, you know, your long johns on underneath, and oh my God, it was terrible. Now I get to experience that with my son at the college level too, because last spring was a terrible spring for baseball as well. So it's kind of funny. Some other high schools in our states around, you know, went to summer ball or gave the schools an opportunity, but Iowa's the only one really that survived or continued. I don't know if there's anybody else now that requires everybody to play summer ball. I know Wisconsin had an option and Illinois had options, but I think Wisconsin took away summer ball. I think the state mandated that they go back to spring, and Illinois, I think, still has an opportunity. So, yeah.
What were some of the, what are you getting into the baseball coaching, as far as the influences of other coaches on your starts, as far as dealing with setting up a program and instructional wise?
I think basically I pretty much went back to my college experience. And, you know, sharing the knowledge. When I was at college, I knew that I wanted to be a baseball coach. And I know, obviously, you have your favorite positions and everything else. But when my junior and senior, or all my years at Loras College, I made sure that I kept my ears open when coaches were instructing other positions, you know, and everything, not just infielders or not just pitchers. So I tried to get a overall knowledge of all the positions in baseball. Okay. So, yeah, so basically I would say it's my two college baseball coaches that probably influenced me the most as far as, you know, practice organization, you know, and then obviously your philosophy classes or theory classes at Loras College, you know, played a role in that as well. And then as you and I had talked about earlier about a common friend of ours, Jim McCarthy, was an influence as well, you know,
sure,
for my career.
So you were there for... what did you say, 29?
29 years in baseball and 30 years teaching.
And you didn't have enough of it?
No. And then from there, it just, you know, I had an opportunity to go to Waller to, you know, to coach there. And there was they gave us an early retirement package from Cascade at that time. And I think there were about 7 or 8 of us teachers went out at the same time with that package, the retirement plan. I think it was like 13, 14 years ago. So it would have been about 2004, okay, somewhere in there. You know, I don't keep those dates, you know.
Okay.
But yeah, so, yeah.
You transitioned right into Wallert then? I mean.
Yeah, I actually, when I made this, somebody from Wallert approached me when the position opened. I thought, well, you know, I love it here at Cascade, but, you know, I got a chance. I didn't want to stay teaching at Cascade and coaching at Wallert. I didn't think that was a good fit. So I decided to, I had this opportunity. I decided to take the early retirement package, and then I would start at Wallert. And while I was there, I substitute taught there quite a bit, you know, at Wallert and Mazzucchelli, just the two Catholic schools pretty much in town, is where I substitute taught. And then I coached also. Now at Cascade, I coached like sophomore football for a number of years. And I coached basketball, you know, boys at like a freshman level and girls at the varsity level for a number of years. So when I left there, I continued coaching football Mazzucchelli at junior high level in Dubuque. And then also I did the sophomore girls basketball in there for a number of years also.
Okay.
So, yeah, and now then after I retired from Wallert, I guess I'm still into it a little bit. I've coached an 8th grade team at Wallert the last couple of years. I think I've been out of varsity now 3 or 4 years. And my first year out, I was a volunteer. And then the second year out, I took the 8th grade, and then I still volunteered at the varsity a little bit. And this past summer, I just had the 8th graders alone. So I'm getting closer to full-time retirement. I'm not sure if I'm quite there yet.
Well, you know, you're out of quite a perspective from all those years that you taught and coached. And I was just like thinking about, you know, when you and I got going with sports when we were little kids, nobody seemed to teach us anything about how to hold a bat or throw a ball.
Yeah.
I mean, things are different now, aren't they?
Oh, completely different. Completely. I remember actually playing against your teams probably when you coached at Farley St. Joe's. I think I played basketball probably against your team, and I think you coached baseball as well and played there also. But, yeah, how the game has changed, you know, from those days to the days now. And from in most ways it's changed for the better. But I think there are some things still that were, you know, very good about those days, you know. Now again, everything is structured and organized for you. Back then, you know, in off seasons, you just picked up and played pickup games, you know, and stuff, and nobody forced you into playing one sport, you know, 12 months of the year as they do now. And, you know, now, you know, you talk about the changes in coaching and techniques and everything else. My son's the head baseball coach at Simpson College, so I get to help out with him too. So I go down there a couple days a week and help in the fall and the spring. And so now I get to see it from his point of view, which is different than my point of view in a lot of situations. But, you know, just the availability they have with internet. I mean, they can you can find out everything you want, you know, about teaching any specific skill or whatever. And, you know, I think that's good in a lot of ways, but also, you know, parents have access to that too.
Yeah.
So sometimes they think they may know as much as the coach, or may, you know, they should do it differently or whatever. But, you know, yeah, I mean the strength of the athletes, you know, and the, you know, the speed and the strength and everything else and all the accessories they have to improve their skills.
There's an academy, isn't a fellow running an academy in Dubuque right now, a baseball academy?
Well, there are several of them in Dubuque, actually.
Right.
Yeah, there's there's a sports complex has one. So that would be Eric Munson, former Major League Baseball player. Yeah, Terry Rosenkrantz, who ran one in Dubuque, and now I think out at Piasta, maybe a little bit, or Epworth. And he's a AAA former baseball player. Steve Moeller in Dubuque has one. His son's an outstanding catcher as a freshman now in Dubuque.
Their angle is they charge so much for their services?
Yeah. It's gotten pretty expensive, actually. You know, they have individual instruction. You can bring a team in and just use their facility if you like, or they're opening up to individual instruction, you know. And, you know, I my guess is they probably charge $50, $60 an hour probably now.
Okay.
You know, and it's surprising the number of people that are willing to pay that, you know. And they all think, well, their kid's going to be that one that's a D1 player, you know, so this is going to make the difference, you know. So
maybe going back into Cascade, how about some of your memories of some of your colleagues that you worked with at Cascade?
Oh, yeah, I have some great memories. You know, Al Marshall and I played college baseball together. I think he and I played together for 1 year. He was a senior when I was a freshman. And then he was at Cascade my entire time. You know, so certainly, you know, Al and I have a great amount of respect for each other and have known each other for lots and lots of years. You know, so, and he was somebody, you know, that I looked up to, you know, and would, you know, when I coached girls basketball, he was kind of a mentor for me a little bit too, you know. So he's one certainly, administration-wise, you know, Jim O'Meara made a big impression on me.
Okay.
As far as I was concerned, he was a great principal, you know, just very supportive, you know, and willing to do anything, you know, for you, you know, and everything else. So he was a big influence on me. Steve Rutz, his assistant, was a great, you know, a good administrator as well for us.
I ran into, who else was there?
Bob David Schofer, that was going to be the next person I would mention. Yeah, I think he's probably 10 years older than I am. I'm thinking he is, so he's probably in about his 57th year or something out there, I think. But obviously the success that Bob had with his drama and his sports programs was outstanding. So, yeah, and then, you know, just on the teaching level, you know.
John Donovan was there.
Well, we had John Donovan, we had Paul Beck. Louis Fouch. You know, Gary Meyer was there for a long time with me, and he coached with me in football and different things. John McGuire was there for quite a while. Joe Bell,
okay.
You know, so, yeah. So we had, we're all of us, most of us were from Loras at that time, too. We were kind of Loras grads, so I really thought, you know, there were seven of us, I think, went out when I retired, and, you know, all of us, I thought, just had a tremendous amount of pride for our teaching profession, you know.
That's what comes through to me when I talk to teachers that were at Cascade and at Epworth, basically those two facilities. And I give a lot of credit to Wayne Drexler for hiring people that were so skilled in their profession. And he didn't really care as far as maybe they were had some years of experience and maybe they had some higher degrees. He still hired the best ones.
Yeah.
And that showed up with the quality of teaching that those people provided over the years.
Yeah. Yeah, we really thought, and obviously we're biased, but we thought we had a great staff.
Yeah.
You know, just a very dedicated staff, I thought. You know, nowadays it seems like, again, I'm a substitute teacher, so I get in the various schools that way a little bit, too. It just seemed like, you know, back then, you know, teachers just didn't take many days off. You know, they just thought that they really needed to be there, you know, and everything. And I know the administrators were the ones that had to find subs all the time.
I hated Monday.
I bet. Any morning, probably, but Monday's more so than any, probably. But, yeah, I mean, I just thought, you know, we had a great staff, and we all taught together for a number of years, you know.
Yeah.
I know Steve Chapman was in that group. Steve and Louie and Gary and I carpooled together, you know, for a long time. So
did you live in Dubuque?
I did. Okay. I lived in Dubuque the entire time I taught at Cascade.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when did you get married? I guess we missed on that.
I was 30 when I got married, so I got married a little later in life. Barb, my wife, and she's an administrator now in the Catholic school system.
Was she really?
In Dubuque. Yeah, she's been principal now at St. Column Keels for about 13, 14 years.
Okay.
So, yeah. Yeah.
I got you by 2 years. I waited till I was 32.
No, did you? Okay. I always think back, and would I get married if I had to do it over again, married early? And I think, probably not. I could have never played the number of ball games
exactly.
I played if that was the case.
Just a random thought, but we mentioned Bob David Schilfer, and I interviewed him a couple of years ago, and it was in the summertime, and he had a Yankees hat on. And I said, Bob, I said, what's the deal with the Yankees? He smiled. He said, well, he said, when I was a little kid at Cherokee, he said, we had to show up for the city Little League program, and they put you into different teams. He said, I was on the Yankees.
Really?
So,
no, I never did hear that from Bob. I know he's an avid Yankee fan.
Well, that's where he got started.
Really? Wow.
And
so.
He said, I go every summer. I go to New York City, and I go to see the Yankees, and I go to see some plays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think he went like with the Donovans, like we mentioned his name earlier, and Father Brueggemann, I think, was on the staff at ACK when he was there the last few years out there. So, but I know, yeah, he's just a huge, huge Yankee fan. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, do you have how about personally, has some hobbies other than baseball? Or?
Well, I like to golf. You know, I'm not very handy. My wife would like me to be much handier than I am.
But, me both.
But anyway, yeah, I like to play golf. You know, with her working and me being, you know, somewhat retired at least, my coaching getting less and less every year. You know, I take care of the house, you know, and different things around there, try to alleviate her workload at home. So, because, you know, as you know, as an administrator, it's not an 8-hour day or a 10-hour day.
Right.
It's, you know, 12 or more. But, yeah, as far as, you know, mechanically, I don't have any skills, not a great amount of skills anyway. And so I can take care of the lawn and the house a little bit. And so we go from there.
Anyway. You guys take trips in the summertime a little bit?
You know, actually with baseball over the years, that's certainly summer baseball, you know. That was always a conversation point between the two of us, you know. So baseball usually went till the end of July, and then I had 1 week off and I started football.
Yeah.
So there was only a week off there in between baseball and football for me. And I myself, I was able just to go from one sport to the other without needing a break, because I just feel blessed that was my passion and I never got tired of it.
Yeah.
Even to this day, when I have an opportunity to teach a kid something in regards to any game, you know, my grandkids or whatever, you know, I still love to do that. So that has not left me yet, even to this day.
So you have, how many children do you have?
We have four.
Four.
Okay, yeah, four.
Are they in the Midwest? Or?
One in Davenport, one at Indianola at Simpson College. One that just came back from the Dominican Republic. She was over there for 4 years, and she's back in Dubuque right now. And then we had a late one, and she's at Loras College.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Was the one Dominican, was that she had a program or something?
She was in the Peace Corps for 3 years and then worked there one additional year.
Okay.
Yeah. So
great experience. Huh?
Oh yeah. Talking about third world countries, you know, I've only went over once. She ended up marrying a Dominican, you know, and he's back in Dubuque now. He had his visa approved this summer. So he's back with her in Dubuque now. But yeah, I mean, being over in the Dominican Republic, I mean, just going over there, like you said, you know, it's the traffic and different things like that, you know, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, when I was visiting with Mac, he said, well, we're going to go down to the market in the village. They have the marketplace. And so we walked down there, and they had open-air market. And we're walking through there, and I saw this section, and it was something hanging from a hook. Well, it was a slab of beef. Well, it was black because of all the flies. It's for covering.
Oh, my God. I mean, the thing that stood out with me was just the trash around the city. And then the traffic, I mean, it's just, there's no rhyme or reason. Everybody's honking and they're on mopeds, weaving in and out of traffic. And you'd think they'd have numerous fatalities every day, but yeah. So it was a good experience. And yeah, she really roughed it over there. I mean, they washed their clothes by hand. And the village that she was at, I mean, they have nothing, you know, really. And she was kind of in the education area over there.
Okay.
So, yeah.
You know Don Copas?
Yeah, in fact, I saw Don today.
Okay.
I didn't, yeah.
The reason I bring his name up is because my neighbor up the street is Bob Eager. And Bob has taken a few humanitarian trips different times. Well, I guess he's hooked up with Don, and they're going back to Ethiopia in December. Now, apparently, Don's had this project for some time.
Okay. Yeah.
So,
yeah, because he's a retired teacher, I think,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a Cascade Aquin boy.
Yeah.
You know, I remember that. So
yeah,
you probably coached against him, too.
Oh, yeah.
Realize, yeah, you didn't like to play him necessarily.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jerry, thanks for your time. I appreciate your taking the time to visit with me. And like I said, we'll conclude this interview at this point. But,